We welcome Vance Joy to the studios of K-Rock. Welcome. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
What a weird story you have. What a bizarre way you got into music.
Yeah.
Explain to people the path you were on before you turned and went music.
I was at university studying a law degree, and I was also, doing a lot of things. I was gardening.
And you were gardening?
That was my job, yeah, my gardening job, which was really good. A lot of time to think about songs when you're taking weeds out of a garden and blowing leaves around. And also I was playing football in Australia. I was really into all those things. And then,
and we know that as rugby here, right?
No, it's a different game altogether.
Oh, it is?
It's a completely unique game to Australia. It's called Australian Rules Football, and it's like this really rough game. It's a mess.
You have no pads, right?
No pads.
Oh,
just
my God.
Running directly into each other like a 360 game. So it's pretty entertaining, but it's also super dangerous.
Yeah, so, I would think so.
Yeah, so
did you get injured? How long did you play that?
I played all my high school, and I played all, you know, since I was like 9 years old, I was playing football. It's like second nature to play that sport, you know? And,
right.
And then after school, I played for about 3 years while I was studying at university. I got injured a few times, but nothing too bad.
Like, did you get a law degree?
I ended up getting it. I fell over the line and I got it.
Okay. So you did Australian rules football and you became a lawyer and you were gardening. Now, at what point did you go, hey, I should write songs and go that route?
Did you think...
From the beginning, you could write songs?
Well, I knew that I liked music. I loved playing covers. And then I wrote a few songs at the end of school, which were really average, like really bad songs. But I think you got to write a lot of bad songs before you write a decent song. So I wrote my first decent song in 2009, and it was called Winds of Change. And I kind of felt really kind of excited by it. And I played it to people. And every time I played it, I get this like kind of like – I get like goosebumps, you know?
Right.
And I'd be like, this is kind of a powerful – experience.
That's the first song that you had written that you started playing for other people?
Yes. Yeah, I played it at open mic nights and I was like, hey, do you want to hear a song? And people would be like, oh, yeah, I guess. Like, and I'm just always trying to spruik it to people. And
right.
Then, from then I couldn't, even though I was doing all those other things, I couldn't kind of, I guess my heart was really set on songwriting and that dream to be a songwriter and to do music in a more, I guess, consistent way was always there, and I kept feeding that dream. And over the last 3 years, I just was writing songs kind of in secret, and then I had about five or six songs that I was really proud of, and I went and recorded Riptide actually 2 years ago with my drummer. We organized a rehearsal studio and also a recording space. We recorded it in a day. We recorded it in a day.
Okay.
And then
I also read that Riptide was made up of a bunch of pieces of other stuff that you had sort of come up with. Is that true?
That's true, yeah. In 2008, I wrote the first two lines, and I thought, this is not going to go anywhere. Like this this has no potential, which is funny. It's funny how you don't know if it's good or not. You know, you just kind of write it. And then 4 years later, I wrote the melody for the chorus. All these kind of things came into my head, like stream of consciousness kind of lyrics.
Uh-huh.
And the song kind of came together. And
now, did you go into the Australian Rules football team and say, guys, I'm writing songs and I'm playing a ukulele?
I was like, yeah, I need you guys to give me your blessing. You know, like, I'm going to have this little very, very kind of not masculine instrument. They gave me their blessing because I was playing covers at social functions.
Oh, okay. So they knew that was in you from the beginning.
They knew that I was a guitar guy. Yeah.
But not a guitar guy as much as a ukulele.
Yeah. They didn't know
that
I had
the ukulele. How do you?
You kind
of. For those of you that don't know, it's like a little miniature guitar.
Tiny.
Yeah, looks like a clown guitar.
It looks like a clown guitar.
Yeah.
My one's slightly bigger than the tiny mini. Like, it's not so novelty that it's like, that can't make sound. It's kind of, it's got, I guess, like 50, I don't know what you guys would say, 20 inches long, maybe a bit.
Okay.
Like, about that size. But anyway, this ukulele, I picked it up at a music shop, and I guess I was looking for something different, something to change up just from playing guitar. You get bored of the same instrument playing
sure.
all the time. So I picked it up, and it makes you play songs differently. It makes you sound different. So I kind of fell in love with the instrument. And when I started playing it, people were like, this is a novelty. Like, it's really cool. I like this ukulele. And I was like, really? You know, I didn't even think. I thought it was kind of like a joke. And they were like, no, I really like the way.
Are you positive they weren't pulling your leg?
Well, I don't know. It's too late now. It's too late now, you know.
Oh, I love that instrument. It's awesome.
They're like, they're like, he looks like such an idiot with his Duke. I want to see.
Well,
him
you're
do
a
it
pretty
again.
Big guy, and it's a pretty small instrument.
It is. It is. It probably does look a bit. It is like you can't escape that. I'm like 6'4" almost, and
right.
I've got a tiny little, you know, ukulele.
So you record Riptide and you put it out there.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have a band yet. You don't have an album yet. You don't have anything. You just put that song out.
I got nothing. I put it on SoundCloud. Yeah.
You put that on SoundCloud. Okay. So then who picks it up first? Was it in the GoPro commercial early on, or how did it work?
It was even before that. I put that out in 2012. I put that version up online, and my manager is a friend, a guy that we both went to the same school, and he was a bit older than me, and he saw on Facebook that I'd posted a link to the song on SoundCloud.
Right.
He listened to it, and then about 2 weeks later, he'd kind of been listening to it, and he's like, this is a cool song. I want to know more. Called me up. He goes, hey, do you have any more songs? And I sent him about 5 or 6 demos that I had on my phone. That was like the only other recordings that I had.
Yeah.
And then he said,
what kind of quality was that on your phone?
It was like in my head, it's like, oh, you know, this sounds like good, but you know, it's so different to other artists, I guess. When eventually you get to a more professional level, you send proper demos to people.
Well, I would imagine. Yeah. But again, you're going about this all backwards, sort of.
Yeah, I didn't have a band yet. I didn't have any of that
no
stuff.
No band, no album. So the song takes off, right?
The song eventually did, but there was about 6 months where I was just organizing a band. I guess my songwriting was more advanced than everything else, so I had to kind of put all those pieces in place. We wrote out a plan kind of thing. You know, in our heads we had a blueprint of we have to get a band, we have to record some more songs, we have to put this all together so that it becomes something.
Right. And that's a bizarre way to go about it. And meanwhile, this song was taking over the world, Riptide.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long... In Australia, it's kind of had its wave of popularity, and it's been an amazing trip in Australia. And right now, we've put a lot of time into coming to America and really wanting to, you know, make an impression. So I've played a bunch of tours, and slowly, 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 you start to get your foot in there.
Now you have your first real album coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dream Your Life Away. Tell me about that.
That was put together around all the touring we were doing, because Riptide was, as you said, it kind of was getting around, and these branches of this song were just kind of opening all these doors. And I was walking through a lot of doors, but I also had to record more songs.
What do you do if you only have one song, though?
Well,
you start touring behind Riptide.
Yeah.
You had other ones, I guess.
I did have other songs.
How many?
I think now I've got about 15 songs.
No, I'm saying
songs.
Then, when you started touring behind Riptide.
I had an EP of 5 songs.
Okay.
And I had about 2 or 3 that were just coming in. Around the time we were recording, I had 3 more new ones.
And that was God Loves It When You Dance?
Yeah, God Loves You When You're Dancing.
Okay.
And then I had 3 more, and then I had a couple of covers. You stretch it out.
What were the covers?
There's not a big back catalog yet. But
what were the covers? I was going to get to the covers, because when you start playing, you only have 4 or 5 songs. You have to play some covers.
Yeah,
I did a cover of Dancing in the Dark. I also did a cover of Casey and JoJo. Well, this is a new one. I did this actually a couple of weeks ago. Casey and JoJo, All My Life.
Uh-huh.
And I did an old Australian song called It's Because I Love You. So I had about 3 covers rolling around. And also Ignition, I think I did for a little bit. And then I decided to stop playing the arcade. I don't know.
That just seemed wrong to you?
Just didn't. I mean, it was kind of good. I used to play at a cafe, and I'd play, you know, the ukulele. Then I'd play, like, my Ignition remix to Ignition, my own kind of remix on my ukulele. It was probably pushing things too far in the novelty direction when you got the uke and you're playing R. Kelly.
You call it the uke, do you, in the biz?
Pardon?
You call it the uke?
Yeah. The uke. In the biz, you know.
In the biz, you
in
call
the
it
uke
the uke.
Biz.
Well, I love it. The album is out tomorrow. It's called Dream Your Life Away. It's Vance Joy, and you're going to perform live in the next room with the uke.
Yes.
All right, we'll come awesome. Right back. Vance Joy is here. The new album is out tomorrow, his first. It's called Dream Your Life Away, and you're going to play something live for us here?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Vance Joy live on K-Rock.
I was scared of dentists in the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. All my friends are turning green. You're the magician's assistant in their dreams. Closest thing to Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen. Oh, lady, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left hand man. I love you when you sing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong. Oh, lady, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left hand man. I love you when you're singing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong. I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong.
Come on. 6'4", playing a ukulele, singing at the very top of your register. That's insane. Most people that come in here early that are in bands kind of dump out on the high notes and go a little lower. You couldn't do it with that one.
No, you got, there's no hiding on this.
There's no hiding on that one.
Just wake up early and do a lot of warm-ups.
Just do it. All right. The new album is Dream Your Life Away. We have Vance Joy in the studio. One more song?
Yes, please.
Fantastic. Yes, please.
So this one is called Mess Is Mine. Talking like we used to do, it was always me and you, shaping up and shipping out. Check me in and check me out. Do you like walking in the rain? When you think of love, do you think of pain? You can tell me what you see. Well, I will choose what I believe. Well, hold on, darling. This body is yours. This body is yours and mine. Hold on, my darling. This mess was yours. Now your mess is mine. Oh, your mess is mine. See you in the marketplace. Walking round at 8 a.m. I got 2 hours before my flight. Luck be on my side tonight. You're the reason that I feel so strong. The reason that I'm hanging on. You know you gave me all that time.
Well, did I give enough of mine? Well, hold on, darling. This body is yours. This body is yours and mine. Well, hold on, my darling. This mess was yours. Now your mess is mine. Ooh, your mess is mine. Your mess is mine. Bring me to your house and tell me sorry for the mess. Hey, I don't mind. Talking in your sleep, out of time. Well, you still make sense to me. Your mess is mine. Oh, ooh, ooh, your mess is mine. This body's yours and this body's mine. Your mess is mine.
And the crowd goes crazy. That's fantastic.
Thank you very
much.
That
is fantastic. You flew in from Australia yesterday.
Yes.
You did that now. You're heading to the East Coast, but Boston, Philadelphia later this week?
Yeah, tonight actually.
Tonight?
Good enough, yeah.
Okay, and then you're going to come back to Southern California. You're going to be playing at the Ford Theater on November 28th, and I guess there are still a couple of tickets available if you'd like to see Vance Joy at AXS.com. Thanks very much for spending your morning with us. We appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
This hour, playing all bands that are going to be playing night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Tickets went on sale at 5 for night number one. Tickets go on sale a little bit of maybe a half hour at 6 p.m. That's when tickets go on sale for night number two.
And, of course, that's The Cure, The Killers, Death Cab for Cutie, Paramore, Franz Ferdinand, Scott Weiland, Snow Patrol, Vampire Weekend. And we'll give you a chance to win tickets in the pit and backstage passes for both concerts between now and when we get off on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. Omar, what? Omar, what?
Do you guys think that's annoying?
Yes.
Okay, what's up with all the goddamn Salvation Army people doing that everywhere I go?
Look.
Seriously, stop it.
We've been having this conversation off the air for a couple of days. Omar has an unnatural hatred for that bell.
Because what the hell?
Well, it's to get your attention.
Yeah.
Okay, like we don't see that big giant bucket and they're all dressed in red with their freaking Christmas hats on.
Right, but
they need to do this.
But they're giving up their personal time to stand out there and raise money for...
So stand out there and wish me a Merry Christmas or some BS. It's 2008. Find some other way of getting my attention.
Omar,
no.
You hear that bell for 15 seconds as you walk by the guy. But
No. I don't walk.
What?
I'm running by it. I want to get as far away as possible that freaking bell.
Okay, let me just put it in context. How annoyed can you be once a year when you walk past that bell for, okay.
Super annoyed.
25
Do you
seconds.
Hear this?
Yes,
do you hear this?
That is annoying.
Okay, okay.
But
stop it is my point. Okay, get on. It's 2008. Find a new, something new.
An air horn, maybe? Or?
Air horn. Dude, hire some hot chicks.
Yeah,
put a midget out there
right.
or something. People be all curious. Hey, there's a midget out here. I'm going to give you some change. You know what? You know what this does? This makes people rush by, and you're not doing yourself a favor. Nobody's going to put any money in that.
Why do you hate? This is a tough time of year.
Because of this.
There are
a tough
lot
time
of, people,
of year. I don't need to be hearing this.
A lot
okay?
of people need help.
I'm in a Christmas spirit. I'm walking into
doesn't
my Target.
Doesn't sound like it.
Dude. Well,
doesn't
well,
sound much
because
like
of this. So Salvation Army, listen. Stop it.
But can't you cut them some slack? Don't they get a pass just because of how great the organization is? They help with disaster relief. They help with homeless people, drug and alcohol rehab. I mean, they do so much stuff with that money. That's all they're saying is, hey, we're just trying to get your attention because you're shopping.
My point is that, fine, they do good work. Okay, I'll give them that.
Okay.
My point is, the bell, really? 2008? You know what the bell, to me, it's just like, okay, if, you know, like people when they have butlers, oh, here's the bell. Do something for me? F you! Okay?
It's not a demand. Dude, it's just, hey, look over here. That's all it is.
Hey, I see you. You can't. They're right in your way to get through the door.
You can't.
You know what? Next time I see their bucket. You I'm going to take a shit in that bucket, okay. And then right, they'll stop with the f***ing bell.
Oh, all right. This is too much.
Wow. Omar needs to leave. He needs to be escorted out. That's not that's not the holiday spirit at all, oh. Come on.
You know, f*** them.
Come on now.
I'm just saying.
It's a tough time to be raising money for charity.
I got a tough time with my ears with this. Come on.
In Omar's defense, he is just saying.
I am.
Right, will you give them money at least once this year to counteract this
if
negative...
If they let me in their bucket.
To counteract this vile that's coming out of your mouth. Come on.
There's the band that killed it in the theater at the Ace Hotel downtown last night. K-Rock and Beats Music presented Coldplay. I listened to some of that on the radio, and it just sounded amazing. They're turns out they're a really good live band.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it turns out. Another really good live band is called U2. Their current album, Songs of Innocence, is the most talked about record in the world. And we'll talk to Bono himself from the band in about 10 minutes. But first, Lisa, I don't know if you saw this latest outrage with Urban Outfitters. They've got a long history of putting things in their stores that people find offensive.
Yes, they seem to love it.
This, yeah, and I almost, there's part of me that hates to give them the publicity for even talking about this because we're saying the words Urban Outfitters, which is what they want. But yeah, this is almost hard to believe that they would do this. They put something up on their website that they described as a vintage, one-of-a-kind item. It is a Kent State University sweatshirt. Now, for folks who don't automatically have a reaction to the words Kent State, it's a college in Ohio where back in around, what was it, maybe 1970 or something like that?
Yeah.
There were student protests that got out of hand, and the Ohio National Guard came in and just opened fire on the crowd. Killed 4 people, wounded 9, I think. So that's the backstory on Kent State. So they're selling on UrbanOutfitters.com a Kent State sweatshirt that is splattered with what looks like blood.
That's really disgusting.
How is that a thing that anybody would even think of?
I can't imagine. I mean, first of all, what is the timing of this? That's pretty bizarre anyway.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's a real black mark in American history, and real people died. And I just can't imagine who thought that up and why they would think that was a good idea.
Well, you can imagine that there was immediate outrage and protest. Urban Outfitters issued an apology saying that the product was purchased as part of our Sun Faded Vintage Collection. The company added that the bright red stains and holes, which certainly seemed to suggest blood and gunshots, were simply discoloration from the original shade of the shirt.
Ridiculous.
And the holes were from natural wear and tear.
No.
We deeply regret that this item was perceived negatively. Because how could you perceive such a classy item negatively?
Why are they just lying?
Well, I don't know, Lisa, but we wanted to find out more about this because I find it as hard to believe as you do. So we asked Dave, who could we talk to from Urban Outfitters? And I believe we have spokesperson Steve Merkin on the line. Mr. Merkin, welcome, sir.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Hey, thanks. It's a great day to buy something from Urban Outfitters, isn't it?
Well, I don't think so. I think a lot of people are rethinking the shopping at Urban Outfitters as a result of this latest bad taste stunt that you guys pulled.
What? I am shocked and, may I add, deeply hurt that you would think that in any way this was an intentionally tasteless decision on our part to put this in our catalog.
It was a simple mistake.
Clear-cut, simple mistake. We had no idea that people could perceive this item in this way.
So, in other words, the blood and the holes in the sweatshirt that are Kent State was just a coincidence. Could have just as easily been the University of North Carolina sweatshirt. That's just not the one you put up on the site.
Exactly.
I don't believe
it. Simply something from our vintage collection. By the way, those stains weren't blood at all. They were discoloration.
Yeah, that's what you tried to tell us.
And
but
those
clearly,
holes were from natural wear and tear. They really weren't to emulate bullet holes in any way. In fact, I don't even know what happened against State. Do you? I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, I think it's pretty widely known and widely
reported. Nobody knows what happened there, really.
Why does Urban Outfitters keep doing stuff like this? Do you think it makes people want to shop at your store?
What are you talking about? I am hurt and may add deeply offended that you think this is intentional on our part. It's like people just want to be offended. They go onto the internet and they look for things to be offended about, and then they pick on us. They pick on a small little company like Urban Outfitters, and we're deeply offended, frankly.
No, yeah, I don't believe
some
it
people,
at all.
Some people are complaining about some of our other items on the website.
I'm not surprised.
Like the John F. Kennedy car seat covers.
Okay, that's a perfect example,
it's
Mr. Merkin.
It's just brain colored.
Oh,
that's all.
You understand he was assassinated while riding in the backseat of a car. That's what? Not an appropriate
what?
Item.
What? That happened? That should have been in the news then.
It was in the news. Come on.
People upset about our Elvis Presley toilet seat. I mean, I can't imagine. Why? Where? How could you be offended by that?
He died on the toilet. That's a very painful memory. Yes.
Making that up.
No, it's a very painful memory for Elvis Presley fans.
But why are people upset about the Marilyn Monroe pillbox?
Oh, God.
Okay, again, an overdose. Look, all of your items don't have to be about how people died.
We don't do that. I am deeply offended.
Deeply offended.
May I
yes.
Add, surprised that you would think that. I suppose you feel our Joan Rivers sore throat lozenges are in bad taste.
Too soon. Oh, Taylor Swift, right?
Right.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Man, she's hot and good, and all of her music is great.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally, you're coming around that it's Taylor Swift's world. The rest of us are just living in it.
Or she's the devil.
Look, she's
the
possibly
devil.
The most popular recording artist in the world right now.
Right.
And for good reason.
Justin Bieber has 33 million followers on Twitter. Does that make him good?
Because
he has 33 million.
Just because other things have lots of things doesn't make them good either.
Right.
Look,
and neither does it that she's a successful singer.
She
doesn't
has,
make her good.
She happens to be. If you read the reviews of her new record and you see her success, she sold 1.2 plus million albums in the first week, which is the most anyone has sold in over 12 years. She's selling over 400,000 copies of the new album this week, by the way, which is the biggest week of any artist all year long. And it's her second week.
And strangest thing about that, the oldest person that bought it so far is 17.
And she just released a new music video that is amazing called Blank Space. Now, you remember, Kevin, in the first music video from the album, 1989, Shake It Off, she poked fun at the fact that she can't dance, that she's a terrible dancer.
Yeah, that was funny.
In this video, she seems to be addressing the internet feeling that if you date her and you break up with her, she's going to write a song about you.
Right,
she's
kind of let me just stop
poking
you right
fun of that, right.
Let me just stop you right there. Is that an internet feeling?
Yes.
Or
yes, it is.
Does she date people, break up with them, and then write songs about
them? She does do that.
So it is in real life, not just internet feeling, right?
That's she made her. This video to address the concept of if she has so many boys breaking up with her, maybe the problem isn't the boy, maybe the problem is her. And she basically just plays a crazy-ass bitch in this video. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk to her about it because we'll talk about some of the stuff that she does in this Blank Space video because it is crazy. Hi, Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
you can believe we're talking to you. Yes, you can. You can believe it.
We have this whole thing set up, Taylor. This is not a surprise. It's not a surprise.
All right. So
you shoot this video at this mansion in New York State, which, by the way, is where Citizen Kane was set. This was the same mansion that was Xanadu, where Citizen Kane lived, by the way. You knew that, right, Taylor? It is, right? Famous historical mansion with 127 rooms, by the way, just as an aside.
Stop!
Why is he talking about the mansion? Taylor, do you know?
Asperger's!
Just an aside. That's all. Just interesting. All right. So, Taylor, what goes on in this video for folks who haven't seen Blank Space yet? Because you do some crazy stuff.
How many rooms are there again?
127.
Oh, that's right.
So
I have a boyfriend in the video, and
right.
I'm so crazy, because if I make fun of it in a video, then it isn't true in real life.
Right, exactly.
Because I'm so self-aware, I'm such an artist.
So you see, whoa,
what was that, Taylor?
I just shouted at an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm so self-aware and self-referential. I'm in on the joke, so it doesn't matter. I'm so cool.
That's right.
In
you're
the
poking
video,
fun of the things that people say about you.
In the right? video,
I'm
the guy...
I'm poking fun about the things that are real. But if I poke fun at them, maybe people won't think them about me.
Bean keeps trying to assume that it's just the internet that's saying this and not real life.
How many rooms?
127. I just assume that Taylor is smart enough to know how to make make something out of what's being said about her. That's all.
I'm
I mean, it's a brilliant strategy.
Diffuse real things that are said about me that are bad.
Right.
So in the video, you do everything from knife a painting of your boyfriend to rip up his clothes to smash the headlights of his expensive car with a golf club. I mean, you go for it.
You see him on the phone texting. You throw it in the water.
I'm so dangerous in this video. I'm a femme fatale.
At what point you're writhing up against a wall with your makeup all smeared and there's a deer standing next to you for no reason that I can figure out. What's going on there, Taylor?
Well, first of all, I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know either. That was very confusing.
No, a deer. A female deer.
At another point of the video, you're standing on the saddle of a horse. You're just standing up on top of a horse. What's that about?
I'm so artistic. I'm artsy. I'm so artsy.
Okay, you're artsy, but...
Whoa!
But what... Was that yourself? Was that yourself?
Nah.
Oh, shoot.
So you're the deer.
The deer. Oh, you killed the deer. That's sad.
So standing on the horse doesn't seem to fit in with any of the rest of the video, except for maybe just that you're crazy.
But... Stop looking for meaning. I'm just trying to be cool.
I see.
Okay. I just want to be cool.
Okay, take it easy.
Taylor,
my name is Bean. You also were... What was that all about?
Again, still just a gun. Move on.
Okay. Okay. You also were... you have 21 changes of outfits in this 4-minute video.
How many numbers are you going to quote?
Yeah, what? Who knows that? Who has that information?
I'm just surprised.
Holy crap, Asperger's, give it a rest.
Why are you wearing a different outfit every 15 seconds?
I guess that's my question. Them?
I just don't know.
Taylor, could you?
What's that? What's that? What's happening?
Taser.
Oh, taser. Oh, taser. Okay, yeah. Well, you are well armed if anyone tries to approach you.
Because I'm so crazy. Like in this video, I'm so dangerous and crazy. It's my new change in persona. I'm arsey and dangerous.
But you're dangerous in real life in that most of what's said about you is true.
No, I'm just kind of sad and pathetic in real life.
Okay.
How's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
That's for good.
What's your name?
Is that really important?
It is if we're going to become friends. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
Are they going to spend it with family?
Mind if I come along?
Not enough room for that.
I'm making fudge over here. I can bring that. Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Good.
Don't you just love Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
You make a Yule log or eggnog?
What's that?
You make a Yule log or eggnog? One or two?
Oh, two.
How's that going for you? I'm making something over here looks a lot like a fruitcake. Can you take a second and tell me the story of the baby Jesus?
How the young man is and all the wise men.
Yeah. What's up with all that?
I don't know.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Fine.
What's your name? Brian. Brian, don't you just love Christmas? Know what I mean? My belt buckle is made out of mistletoe.
Why don't you shut the fuck up?
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going? What's your name? Dude, what's your name?
Not now, man.
You like Christmas time like I do? Dude, you like Christmas time?
No, no.
You know what I call my penis? You know what my nickname is for my penis?
Excuse me?
You know what my nickname is for my penis? Jolly old Saint Dick.
I don't want to hear this, man.
Come on, it's jolly old Saint Dick.
You can win your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in less than 1 hour at 9 a.m. And, of course, every hour on the hour all day long today on K-Rock up until 5. Andrew, Cecilia, what's happening here? What's going on right now?
What's going on right now?
Oh, no.
Roland?
What's going on right now?
We're doing a radio show here. What are you calling us for?
A pretty poor excuse for a radio show, if you ask me.
Okay.
Because you have not talked about the singular most important news story of this day or any other day.
We're going to talk about the NFL next.
No, it's not NFL. It's not bidets. It's not anything else that you're talking about.
Okay. Well, it's Star Wars. Is that why?
Star Wars!
Right. Because the movie comes out in a year?
But the teaser trailer was launched on Friday.
Right, not even the trailer, right? The teaser trailer.
Teaser trailer.
How excited should we be, Roland? Please don't make that noise. I'm begging you.
Oh, my lightsaber just went off.
I was afraid of that. All right, look, we got a minute we could talk about the Star Wars trailer. What was your takeaway from the 88 seconds that we got to see?
Set aside about an hour, because here we go.
We don't have an hour, Roland.
Yes, we do have an hour.
All right. Okay.
Started, first of all, with a shot of a desert planet. Is it Tatooine? Do we know?
We don't know. That's why we didn't talk about it.
Is it a new desert planet?
We don't know.
Ah. You're right, we don't. But then suddenly, popping into the frame, stormtrooper,
yeah,
without his helmet on.
That's
not
right.
Just any stormtrooper, a black stormtrooper.
That's true. He looks confused. He's looking around.
How happy is Lando Calrissian that finally is another brother out there in space for him?
I guess happy. I guess.
Have a nice, cool malt liquor beverage with.
I hadn't really thought of it, but
finally, another brother
right
in space for Lando. Maybe this is Lando's son. Maybe it's Lando Jr.
Oh, interesting. Okay. There's a lot of speculation, though. We don't really know anything about the stormtrooper, right?
Maybe this is Brando Calrissian.
Okay.
Or Evan Dando Calrissian.
Right, okay, but we don't know.
Ah, we do not know.
Right.
But so we go forward as an adorable little droid that's rolling around.
Right.
What is this cute thing, I wonder? I don't know, but I hate it. I know that much.
Oh, you hate it?
I hate it.
It's a little droid, though.
No more cute. You don't want cute. I don't want Jar Jar. I don't want any more teddy bears. I don't want Wally, whatever this thing is. People out. I don't like it.
So wait, you're already being critical of the trailer for the new Star Wars
film.
Movie.
I cannot stand that new character.
What?
But then, stormtroopers. We see stormtroopers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're in a transport vehicle, and then the door opens out, and they go out onto the desert planet. What is that desert planet? Is it Tatooine?
We don't know. We're going to find out in a year. We don't need to speculate about this.
But then we meet a beautiful young girl riding on top of a giant fudgesicle.
Okay, it looks like a fudgesicle.
It looks like a fudgesicle. She's straddling it.
Right.
Is this the daughter of Han and Leia?
We don't know.
We don't know. Who is the girl?
I don't think anyone knows yet.
But it's like a land speeder crossed with one of those speeder bikes from Endor.
Right. So there are some things in the movie we haven't seen before.
You know what happened? She goes really fast.
Right.
On the desert planet.
Okay. I think we're about out of time for breaking down the trailer.
We see the actor Oscar Isaac in the Rebel Alliance wingsuit, and he's in an X-Wing!
He's what?
He's in an X-Wing!
He's in an X-Wing. Okay.
And then, on a jungle planet, we see a man, a cloaked man. We don't know who is that cloaked man?
I don't think we know.
He has one of these!
He does have a lightsaber.
Oh! Lightsaber.
Yeah.
He has.
Yoda.
And it has like a guard at the end of it, unlike any lightsaber we've ever seen. Which looks very dangerous to the person wielding the lightsaber. You can cut your hand off with that thing.
Does seem like you need to be extra careful when you're wielding
that thing. who's wielding the poorly designed lightsaber?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, is it Adam Driver, the new villain of the piece, who perhaps is the rising up again of the Empire?
Again, questions we do not have answers to.
Look, it's the Millennium Falcon!
Yep, the Millennium Falcon was in there. That was exciting.
Oh, it sure flies.
Yep. Now, Roland, are you disappointed that there's no Han Solo, there's no Luke Skywalker, there's no Princess Leia? Were you expecting some of that in this first trailer?
I was happy to see Evan Dando Calrissian, personally.
Okay, we don't know that that's his name at all, and it's probably not.
It should be his name if it isn't. The Lemonhead fans would be so happy.
How many times, nice Lemonheads reference, by the way, Roland.
You're very welcome.
How many times have you watched the Star Wars trailer since it debuted online Friday?
I have not stopped watching it yet.
Just out of loop.
You called it a trailer, Bean. You mean the teaser.
The teaser trailer, sorry. Yes, exactly.
It's everything we need to know right there in 88 beautiful, precious seconds.
Roland, if you were a bigger Star Wars fan, you'd already be in line right now to see the movie.
Oh, how do you know I'm not?
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
I'm not, but I got to go.
Okay.
You're about 1 hour away from getting on the standby boarding list for KROQ's World Tour 2014, destination number 2. This time it's Lollapalooza in Sao Paulo, Brazil to see Vampire Weekend and all the other great bands on the bill. 9:10 this morning. We'll get you on that standby boarding list. You can get all the details at KROQ.com.
Let's talk about getting locked in places. This doesn't happen very often, I don't think, in real life. You get locked out a lot.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? You lock yourself out of your hotel room. I lock myself out of my house.
Naked.
Right?
That's
always
part of naked.
It. But getting locked out is one thing. Getting locked in is something completely different.
That's a whole different kind of panic, too,
I would think
depending on where it is.
It is. There have been, just by coincidence, several different stories in the news recently that have all involved people getting locked in or stuck on something. The most recent one that everybody has seen by now is Johnny Quinn, who is on the U.S. bobsled team. He has been locked in two different places since he's been in Sochi for the Olympics. He posted a photo that is just amazing where he, you know, we've heard all these problems about these Russian hotel rooms. Apparently the handle came off the bathroom door and he could not open the bathroom door and he was stuck in the bathroom.
Locked in, couldn't get the door open no matter what he tried.
So he had no phone. And by the way, who goes to the bathroom without a phone? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I don't even understand that question.
Who goes to the bathroom without taking their phone with them these days?
Me,
come on,
all the
Lisa.
Time. What?
Well, the
if
next
you're
time
on
you
road,
get...
I would guess you would keep your phone with you at all times. I would guess.
The next time, Lisa, you get stuck in the bathroom, you're going to wish you had a phone so you could call to get somebody to come rescue you. And unfortunately, Johnny Quinn didn't have that, so he, like the Kool-Aid man, had to smash through the wall, basically. He chose the door. He actually went through the door and broke it open to get out of the bathroom. And then 2 days later, he's in an elevator that gets stuck. And now he's stuck in an elevator and can't get out. Does have his phone that time and is able to call for help.
He needs to go home.
He needs to go home. Then we had the story that we did on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we're going to be wanting to take your calls if you've ever been locked in or stuck inside someplace and we're not able to get out. We want to hear the stories of how it happened to you at 1-800-520-1067. Then we had the story from a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about that guy who was on an airline flight. Remember? He fell asleep on the flight. The plane landed. Somehow the cleaning crew got in there or didn't and didn't see the guy. And he woke up and the plane was completely empty and dark and locked. And he couldn't get out.
That would be the weirdest thing
ever.
That
would be so surreal.
Oh, my God.
He was able to, he did have his cell phone with him, and he was able to call.
Lisa.
And he called his girlfriend, and his girlfriend called the airport, and they sent somebody around to open up the plane and let him out. And then, Lisa, you saw a story that's just in the news this week about a woman who got stuck in a well.
Yeah, she's an Oregon woman, and she disappeared 6 days ago.
Okay.
And they finally found her yesterday. She had gone hiking up Mount David, which apparently she did all the time, but she got stuck in a pit. She fell into this pit and couldn't climb out and was in there for 6 days. And they truly expected to find her dead, but she'd been able to collect some rainwater in a plastic thing that she had. So
she gnawed on her own thigh.
Yeah, pretty much. But they did find her.
For sustenance.
I mean, you could easily have died.
Do you guys remember a cat who comes on after us? She went to Prince's house. I just remember this being the weirdest story because somehow she ended up at Prince's house. Uh-huh. Prince, the singer.
Well, things like that happened to her.
Right. And she got locked in his restroom.
Really?
Like she couldn't get out of Prince's restroom in Prince's house. I'm not sure how that happens.
I bet it's awfully purple in there.
I bet it is.
I bet it is. So what have you been locked inside of? That's the topic at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think we ever addressed this one before.
Nope.
But lots of people have been locked into lots of things according to what I'm seeing so far. And why don't we start with Richard? He's on line one. He's going to get us going. He's talking about being locked in a place we haven't even mentioned yet. Hey, Richard.
Hey, I actually got locked in my own car once.
Locked in your car? Now, how does that happen?
I had an 85 Eldorado. Everything was electronic, and I must have blew a fuse or something on it. Me and my buddy got in the car. We closed the door, and the power went out. As soon as we hit the latches must have came unhooked. We were actually locked in my car in the front house at night.
Sweet. How long?
We had to chase. It was probably only about like 15, 20 minutes, but the embarrassing thing was people were passing by, and we were trying to like wave them down to open the door. My neighbor actually came up to the door, waved at us, and walked by.
Yeah, I would have kept walking.
Well, look, if you see two guys in a car right. at night, you don't want to come knocking in case the car is rocking, right? We all know that.
Right.
Eventually, were you able to get somebody's attention to open up the door for you?
Eventually, it took a lot of like ridiculous hand motions, but one of my neighbors actually came up and opened the door for us, and then we kind of had to explain the situation.
Sweet.
But, not one of my proudest moments.
I love it.
That's hilarious. Thank you, Richard. Well, it wasn't your fault. It's not like you did anything wrong. It just was a malfunction. But thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Sierra real quick. She's on line three. So we've talked about an elevator. We've talked about a bathroom. We've talked about a well. We've talked about an airplane. We've talked about a car. Sierra, what did you get locked inside of?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa Mae.
Good morning.
Well, I went to a convention center, a boat show, and I wanted to check out the room inside the houseboat, and I locked the door behind me, and it wouldn't open back up after that.
So you got locked,
no.
locked inside a boat, inside a conference room.
A convention hall.
A convention hall. For how long?
I was in there for about over an hour. My parents, I was known for running off and getting lost at places, so they finally started looking for me. I was pounding on the door. It was really loud in the convention center, and finally they got the security to get tools, and they actually had to remove the entire door.
Wow. Unbelievable. And what was going through your mind during that hour that you were in there? That were you thinking worst-case scenarios that everybody just goes home for the day and you're just stuck in there overnight?
I was a little bit, but I was more worried about how much trouble I was going to get into because I always did these kind of things.
Yeah, you strike me as that kind of person, Sierra.
Exactly. All right, my dear. Thank you for the call. Happy Valentine's Day. 1-800-520-1067. What were you stuck or locked inside of? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, man, are we getting some great stories from people who have been locked inside of things. Listen to this. Daniel writes in, at my old apartment in my college years, the elevator always broke. I got stuck in there more than three times. I got locked in there
so much that I knew how to open it from the inside. Once the inside door opens, but the elevator was halfway level with the outer floor, you open the door and then crawl out. I was nervous every single time that it was going to start up and cut me in half.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
Lori writes in, hi guys, love the show. When I was five, my family moved into a house that had two sliding glass doors. My brother and I would play around and try to shut each other out in the space between the doors. One time we were able to fit both of us in there and shut the door, but we could not open it back up. They were stuck in between two glass doors.
Sweet.
The worst part was my mom came in the room and sat down and watched TV for 10 minutes before she even noticed we were in there. And here's the craziest thing about Lori's email. She signs it off with, keep beer mug, he's awesome.
Yes! Is that a first?
Yes, I think she must have had some sort of oxygen deprivation or something like that while she was stuck at the door, because clearly there's something wrong with her. All right, we got some great calls. Let's go to Chanel. You're going to love Chanel on line five, Kevin, because her being locked in is like you're being locked out. It involved her being naked.
Oh, good. Hi, Chanel.
Hey.
You were naked?
I was.
You got locked in where?
My boyfriend's garage, and he lived with his parents.
Oh, no. Is his parents' house?
Yeah, who I've never met before.
Oh!
And we had just been dating a couple months, but I slept walk, and I opened their door from their house to their garage, and they had a home alarm. And I wake up to the alarm going off, so I go into the garage, and I hide because I'm scared, and I don't know what to do.
Right.
So it's dark in there. Well, somebody comes down, and they open the garage door. It's dark. They don't see anybody, so they shut it, and they lock it.
And you were in there for how long?
About 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Where was your boyfriend? Asleep?
He was asleep. They had a garage phone, so I was calling him, but we had drank so much the night before he was passed out.
Sweet.
Oh, my gosh. This story has everything.
I'm freezing. It's like March, so I'm freezing cold in the garage. And I start crying. I'm stuck.
That's not how you want to die?
I was so cold. So, his parents hear me crying in the garage.
Yeah.
And both his mom and his dad come down and open the garage and find me butt naked. And that's
oh, my gosh. And I'm sure you were looking around the garage for anything, a blanket or something,
nothing.
A tarp, something you could wrap it.
Nothing.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm your son's girlfriend.
Yeah, isn't it? It's weird that that's the first time you ever met them, but it's also weird that you would, staying in their house for the first time having not met them, that you would sleep naked. That's a surprising choice to me.
We drank a lot.
All right. Okay. All right. Great, great story, Chanel. You are a goer, and I love you. Thanks so much.
It's funny how we drank a lot pretty much explains anything.
You just go, that's all right.
Okay, good.
Let's go to Brandon. He's on line one. Wasn't his fault. Sounds like somebody else locked him inside another unusual location on line one. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Yeah, I was. I actually got locked in a bank safe vault room.
In a bank safe vault?
What? How did that happen?
Yeah, I do. I'm an electrician, and at nighttime, I had to actually install cameras in their own vault room, and so a security guard had to watch over me. I guess he went outside to have a smoke. The door locked him out. I got locked in, and I had to wait there for like an hour till like the general manager for the bank actually got called and came in.
Sweet. Did they know you were in there, though? Like,
yeah,
the security guard knew. Okay.
Oh, yeah, he knew I was in there, but I guess, literally, he went outside to have a smoke, and, I was locked in there. I didn't get any money, obviously.
I was going to be my next question, is if you were able to stuff any cash into your pants before you came out.
Exactly. No, it was actually locked, but, it was a tiny room, and, it was a nightmare.
Crazy. All right, thanks for the call. Hey, let's go to Erica. She's online, too. She got locked into a space, and this is the first story we've had, I think, of somebody who's locked in with another person. Let's find out about that.
Hi, Erica.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Good, thank you. You were locked in where?
I used to work for a restaurant a long time ago. This is like when cell phones were first coming out, and I used to work with this really hot guy named Ron, and I was always flirting with him. Mm-hmm. And finally, one night, he just kind of started being receptive, and we decided to go into the dry storage room at the restaurant. And we were in there, messing around a little bit.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, we just hear like this clicking noise, and the manager of the restaurant had locked us in there. He didn't know we were in there, so he locked us in, and he started closing up shop. He probably thought we left, and next thing we know, we couldn't get out. So
sweet.
we had one cell phone with us, and so at that time we were trying to call everybody that we knew to come and break open the lock, because the lock was on a door, like at the back of the restaurant,
right,
on the outside. We couldn't find anybody that was willing to come and let us out, so ultimately we had to call the restaurant manager and let us out.
Did you get fired?
But not before you made a baby, right?
We didn't make a baby, but...
But you tried.
Well, I can't confirm that.
Yeah!
That's
fantastic. All right. Let's
love
end,
it.
Let's end with Emily. This one seems bad.
If you don't... Okay. All right. Go ahead.
What? You want to go somewhere else?
No. Emily's fine.
Okay. Hi, Emily.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
We are good.
Okay. So I work in a mortuary. I've been in this business for 7 years.
Ruh-roh. I don't like where this is headed.
It's not uncommon for, you know, the family to leave something in the casket, forget about it, and then remember at the graveside or remember at the church. And usually we don't open the casket up in front of guests and pull jewelry off or right, pull papers or pictures.
Right.
So it's not uncommon for a funeral director to crawl in the back of the coach, pop open the casket, grab what they need, and get out. So the family had wanted some jewelry, and I wasn't comfortable opening the casket up in front of the church. I said, don't worry about it. I'll get it at the graveside. I'll just go in the vehicle and grab it. So I go in the back of the hearse, and I pop open the door, and I open the casket. I'm taking the rings off, totally normal, and the door closes behind me. I'm still not even thinking. I don't care. I'll just open it back up. So
sweet.
I close the casket. I go to open the door. I had no idea that they lock as soon as they close.
Okay, so now the door's locked, and you're in there with...
An old man.
An old dead man.
So you're locked in the back of the hearse, but you only have to stay in there as long as it takes to get to the burial, right?
Well, we're at the gravesite already, and of course, my luck, we're at the only cemetery. It's a national cemetery, and you only get 15 minutes. So here I'm stuck in the back of the coach, taking up precious time that this family has to do their final service.
Oh.
So I'm waiting in there. I'm like, you know, it's cool. I have the keys. I go in my pocket to grab the keys. Of course, they're in the front seat that I'm locked off through a piece of glass. I
right.
can't get to them.
So you can't get anywhere.
I'm just kind of sitting back there. A couple of minutes go by. I kind of start to panic. I know someone's going to come up because the whole family's behind me. So about 5 minutes comes by, and this guy walks up kind of pissed and looks at me like, what the hell are you doing? And I had to shout through the glass that I'm locked in. Please open the door.
Oh,
you know, he opened the door and I got out, but it was really embarrassing.
Oh. To have to explain that you wanted some private time with Grandpa to say goodbye, that must have been very awkward for you.
No, that wasn't it. But yeah, now anytime I go in the back of the coach, I make sure I either put, like, my shoe in the door, or I'll tell somebody, if you don't see me in a minute, come open the door because it locks from the inside out.
Gotcha. Yeah. That has got – what a story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Emily. We appreciate it. I mean, that is – look, all these stories we've talked about, nobody wants to go through. But imagine being locked in the back of a hearse with a corpse. That's not ideal, right?
I think I'm not choosing that.
Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Vance Joy. The song is called Riptide.
I like it. I like it a lot. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. Breakfast with Arcade Fire at 8 o'clock. Very excited. They'll be playing live. We'll be asking questions. Kevin and Bean listeners will be asking questions as well. But first... flying is not the most fun thing that any of us do anymore.
No, it's not.
No. On the airplane is bad enough with the tiny little seats and the no food and the bad people you have to travel with.
And the delays.
And the
constant
delays. Yeah. And every flight is full, every seat. The TSA is another huge irritation for most people when they go to the airport. I mean, isn't that part of what you dread the most about traveling is knowing how long it's going to take to get through those lines?
The security lines are terrible.
And I understand their heart's in the right place, but it's miserable, and it takes forever. And the TSA is aware of that, and they are asking us, the public, for help on how they can speed up the process of getting us through the airport.
So if I go to LAX and I'm flying someplace, they want to know how to streamline that process.
That's right.
I do too.
Exactly. Let me keep my shoes on and my belt.
Right.
And my computer.
Take my word for it that I'm not a terrorist and just let me get on the goddamn plane.
I think that would help.
I was interested in this article to see that the lines at TSA at the airport are 50% regular passengers, 30% TSA pre-check, and those are the people who don't have to do the stuff that you're talking about.
Right.
10% premier passengers, which I assume would mean, you know, first class and MVP travelers, 7% employees, and 3% passenger with disabilities. That's what they're dealing with. And they're saying, hey, if you've got a better idea on how to get those people through the airport faster, go to the website, submit your idea before August 15th. And if we pick your idea, if we use it, we're going to give out bonuses of up to $15,000 for the best ideas to improve the system.
That's pretty cool.
So we wanted to find out more about this, and we asked producer Dave to line up whom on the phone.
I believe this is TSA spokesperson Jack Kerrigan.
Hi, Mr. Kerrigan. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
So did we set that up correctly? You're looking for the public's help on how to make the TSA process smoother for all involved.
Absolutely. The public, of course, bitch for the public.
Well, it's a pain in the ass. I mean, let's be honest.
But for us, it's a great time. No, we love dealing with you a-holes. No, it's a blast.
No, we don't think it's fun for you either.
Right.
But
okay, so let's all just suffer, okay?
Right, but it's your job. I mean, you're a government.
Yeah, but it's your job.
You're an employee that we pay to keep the airport safe.
And we're doing the best goddamn job we can, okay?
Okay, don't yell at us.
Well,
stop
pointing your finger. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, those lines take forever. Yeah, well, we're trying to keep you from dying, so blow me.
All right. sir, we're having you on because we're trying to help you publicize your campaign.
Right, that's what the campaign's all about. I call this campaign, oh yeah, why don't you try it?
Okay, all right, good.
So you got complaints about TSL, it doesn't work well, you guys have a lot of problems, fine. You come up with a good idea.
Okay.
You get us through the lines quicker. You make everything safe, but also make everything sunshine and lollipops and blowing marshmallows out of my butt, and then we'll give you $5,000. How about that for your time and trouble, you douchebags?
All right, how about you stop strip searching 80-year-olds and little babies? How about we start there?
All right, because they can't possibly be packing plastic explosives in their orifices, right? That's how they get you, man. They make you think it's not old ladies and babies. Next thing you know, baby bombs. Hi, welcome to death.
There's no baby
That's not much of a slogan.
I feel like you pick people out that you know before you search them. You know, the disabled veteran in a wheelchair is not there to blow up the plane.
All right, so we leave those people alone. Who do you suggest we do pick out of the line, Mr. Social Profiling? Who do you think? Hey, brown guy, why don't you come over here? We're going to pat you down.
That's
going to be a lovely lawsuit I got to deal with then. Thank you very much.
That may not
be
the answer.
If I don't throw an occasional white grandmother in there, trust me, I'm going to hear it.
Okay. What kinds of suggestions have you been getting that you like, or you have any positive news you can share with us?
So far, you know what we like?
Right.
Nothing. The $5,000 is well safe in the bank, boys and girls, because you people are stupid.
So no good suggestions at all?
Not yet. Huh. We're still hoping. But here's some of the things. Let me share some things with you that we're not going to be doing.
All right, please.
Let me tell you some things that thank you very much for your submission, but go kill yourself.
All right.
Like this one. Women travel nude. Thank you, Mr. Bean Baxter.
That was meant to be private,
by the way.
Women travel nude. That's a great idea. Thank you, pervy.
Wow.
No pregnant ladies allowed.
What?
Once again, thank you, Mr. Bean Baxter.
What's happening?
Seattle, Washington. That's a suggestion I got from this.
You didn't tell us you sent in any suggestions.
I didn't know that our guest had received those. Oh. I'm sorry.
No cripples allowed.
Oh,
thank
let
you
me
very
guess.
Much, Mr. Bean Baxter. Washington, we don't need that suggestion. That's not going to help.
Well, they just make everybody uncomfortable, and they slow down the line. That's all I was suggesting.
Here's a suggestion from a guy named Kevin Ryder.
Oh, okay.
In Tarzana, California. He says, wrap everyone up in cellophane plastic.
How does that help?
I have no idea. But here's the problem. You can't breathe. You can't breathe when you're wrapped in cellophane plastic.
Well, it's not a complete idea. It was just a suggestion to get the ball rolling.
There's another one from Mr. Kevin Ryder from Arizona, California. Have white flights and brown flights. Thanks so much. Yeah, we'll pass that along if people want to go with that.
Again, that was not completely formed.
And here's another one from Mr. Kevin Ryder at Tarzana, California. Roofie everyone before they get on the plane.
Okay, now we're talking.
See?
That's not a terrible idea.
And you wake up, you're already there. Boom.
And you're raped.
Well, it's not perfect.
Again, it might take some tweaking.
Keep those suggestions coming in because these are the kind of a-holes that are telling us what to do.
Wow.
Oh, man. Wow. It's not going well.
No, it's not, lady. It's not going well.
I didn't know you'd be so angry.
I have a horrible job.
You do. You do.
I'm sorry.
You do. We apologize for all of that.
All right, then.
Okay, thanks.
Santa Carl, ladies and gentlemen.
Santa
Carl.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 Santa Carl.
What's up, Kevin and Big?
What's up, Radio Land? It's all so good. Santa Claus, love being back here to talk to Kevin and Bick and all the K-Rock and Roll listeners.
We appreciate it, but I'm still confused how you ended up becoming Santa Carl. You used to be a big-time NBA player, didn't you, Carl?
Well, Karl Malone do play Utah Jazz, play NBA All-Star, and that's what Karl Malone have a boner to pick with Kevin and Bick.
Why?
Because Kevin and Bick being named to NBA Hall of Fame. And that's a dang thing.
No.
Because Santa Carl... Kevin Bick, they're playing NBA,
right?
But name.
We're the NAB Hall of Fame, the National Association of Broadcasters, not the NBA. Different deal.
Well, that's a whole dang different thing right there.
Right.
Okay, then. That's okay. Then, Santa Claus, say congratulations. Okay. Kevin Bick, that's real good.
So we don't see you much occasionally on TV. You're basically just at home in Louisiana just shooting squirrels and then gearing up for the holiday season to talk to the kids, right?
Santa Claus loves shooting them squirrels still after all these years. That's a fun thing to do. Eyed up. Bing. Squirrel fall down right there on the ground. And then Santa Claus cook up the squirrel, and then he enjoy it. But Santa Claus having a great 2014 year.
You are? Okay.
Because that Santa Claus have a new toy, and that's called the Vapor Rub. And Santa Claus love this. It's a little thing. And now look like some kind of ball peen pen.
Right, right.
But
it's not a Vapor Rub.
If you look at this right here, watch it. Santa Claus do. Santa Claus suck on a Vapor Rub.
Right, you're e-vaping, right.
He said, make Santa Claus feel all good.
I won't ask what's in there then,
when
Carl.
When Santa Claus Malone smoking on a Vapor Rub, I feel like floating on a rainbow.
Well, congratulations.
And that's a dang thing right there.
That is a beautiful Christmas
Santa
miracle.
Santa Claus feels so good right now, too. It all set in. Yeah.
All right. 1-800-520-1067.
Okay, kids, it's time to call in and to say things to Santa Claus. Santa Claus going to have another smoke of this here Vapor Rub pen. Oh, look, here we go.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are. He loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name.
Santa
Claus. Santa Claus.
Okay. Well, Santa Claus loves talking to the children. And here they come.
Let's go to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Who is your first little boy or girl here, Santa Carl?
Hello, little boy or girl. Who are you?
Well, which one are we going to?
This is JJ.
JJ.
Oh, what's happening, JJ?
No, JJ. JJ, you're on with Santa.
Grab a small lightsaber.
Now, what the hell go on? Kids just jump in right in with their, I want this toy. Now, DJ. Okay, now this kid sound like he gonna get nothing for Christmas because he being rude.
And I want people on wheels racetrack.
Okay, don't have to bring race into this now. This is a sensitive time in this country right here. And you know what, JJ? Santa Claus gonna have to think long and hard because sound like... Sound like you need some kind of sound like JJ need a Vapor Rub pen. And that will calm. And that's the thing Santa Claus telling parents now with kids. Give them kids a iPad. Give him a Vapor Rub kid and also some medical treatment.
All right, JJ. Okay. We're glad you called, son. Thank you so much.
What the hell kind of kid that? Santa Claus never liked that in his home. That's right.
All right, let's go to Emily in Glendora. Hi, Emily.
Well, what's happening, Emily? Hi, how are you? How old are you, little boy or girl?
I'm 7.
You're 7 years old? Oh, that's so cute. And what could you want for Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas time this year?
A puppy.
Oh, that's a good, that's an old-time gift, a puppy. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing for Santa to shove right down that chimney, too. Now, Emily, have you been a good girl or boy this year?
Yeah.
Have you been doing all your homework?
Uh-huh.
Have you been making your bed? Oh, sound like Emily maybe not making her bed. That's an important thing right there. And don't forget to smoke your vapor rub pen.
No, we're not encouraging
Emily,
that at all.
Because that's an important thing. That's so much fun. Santa Claus going to take my mom.
Do you think Emily is ready for a puppy? That's a lot of responsibility for a 7-year-old.
Santa Claus don't think Emily even ready to start making a phone call on her own.
Okay.
But that's okay. Parents will take care of puppy, and that'll be all okay. Okay. And them Dalmatian puppy, that's a good puppy because that's a breeding puppy. And those them the best puppies from the pet store.
You don't want to get...
That's not how that works.
That's a purebred puppy. Those are the dumbest puppy in the world.
Okay. All right, let's try Olivia.
Okay.
Who's on line four? Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Santa Claus.
Well, hello there, little Olivia. How you doing?
Good.
Now, what could Santa Claus bring you for Christmas this year?
Easy-bake oven.
Well, that's an easy... What the hell that called?
Easy-bake ultimate oven.
Now, that's a thing that Santa Claus' sister had when he were growing up.
No kidding.
That's a little plastic box, and they got a light bulb in there, and then you put all kind of muffin in there, and that's a good thing
right.
to snack on. When Santa Claus smoking on his vapor rub pan.
Tell us about the vapor rub pan.
Because that's a delicious little treat. And you come over, Santa Claus going to bring you one of them. Okay, oblivious. Santa Claus going to bring you one of them little easy bake oven. And he going to come over to eat all your snacks. Okay, well, be a good girl
Christmas.
Olivia.
Merry Christmas to you. Glad you called.
That's a girl.
We got time for maybe one or two more here,
okay.
Santa Carl.
Santa Claus, keep talking.
Let's do Alex.
Okay.
Hi, Alex.
Hello, Santa Carl.
Hello, Alex. What's your name?
Okay. I think it might be Alex. Yeah.
Okay. And have you been a good bar girl? Because that's a hard name to know. Santa Claus don't know nowadays. Kids naming, parents naming kids Alex for boy and Alex for girl.
Very
Santa
confusing.
Claus like,
very
what
confusing.
The hell is? Sometimes Santa Claus have to check.
Sure.
Yep.
Ask Not Alex sure. again what he might like for Christmas.
That's right. That's why he have Elf on Shelf watching kids change clothes.
What?
That's right.
It's turned ugly.
Well.
Alex, what do you want for Christmas?
A calculator?
What the hell? Hold up!
What?
What kind of nerd? This kid a nerd. And that's... Santa Claus have nerds like this when he were in going to LA.
Yeah, you use on the beach.
A calculator you use on a beach?
Metal detector.
Oh, metal detector. Now, this kid not just a nerd. This kid a senior citizen nerd. Looking for other people jewelry, other people teeth. Oh, that's a heck of a thing. And so what you trying to find on the beach with that?
And the Nougat.
Nougat?
What? One of the Nougat's got under crystal
TFT. Ted Nougat, that's a good player. Santa Claus loved Ted Nougat, that wang dang. Hold on, Santa Claus get his vapor up pen right here.
And
take a second. It makes him feel so good. It's like floating on a rainbow.
All right, so a yes or a no for... Yes or no for Alex, you think Santa Claus?
Alex, is Santa Claus going to bring you a football to play with? Because you play with a calculator on a beach, you're going to get the hell beaten out of you. Okay?
All right.
And Merry Christmas, little nerd.
Merry Christmas, Alex. Thank you.
Oh, dang. Some of these here kids. Santa Claus, you know, sometimes Santa Claus sucking on vape pen.
Yes, we
looking around at squirrels and think to himself, what a wonderful world.
Indeed, Santa
That's
Claus.
Right.
Hey, listen, thanks for coming in. Great
well,
to see you again.
Big,
happy holidays.
Good. And Big, don't go jumping off no steed no more. You had all Santa Claus all riled up right there.
Oh, Santa, you were worried as well.
Yeah, Santa Claus fell down chimney one time and busted up his ass pretty dang good.
Yeah, it's not good
so
for anyone.
Be real careful with that ass there, Big.
Thank you, Santa. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kevin.
Why are we forced to work with so many people who are so wrong all of the time, Kevin?
I don't know. I really don't know. Very upset by this.
I'm very upset by this, too. All right. The topic on the table is the model, now actress, Emily Ratajkowski, who is the beautiful girl that we've all seen because she starred in the Blurred Lines video. She was one of the topless models, the featured topless model in the Blurred Lines video, who's just gorgeous. She's been in GQ. She's been in all sorts of
stuff. I knew we were going to talk about this today, so I went yesterday probably 100 times I watched that Blurred Lines
Research.
Video.
research.
Thank you for that, Kevin. Yeah. That's very, you're very dedicated to the show. I appreciate that.
As did
that.
I, Kevin. As did I.
All right. So that's the voice of Dave, the King of Mexico. That's also the voice, a rare in-studio appearance, our friend Casey, whose job it is to sit in the dungeon, the basement here at K-Rock, and have her finger on the button in case anybody says a bad word. So she's in here because she and I were chatting the other day. And she said, yeah, I went to see that Gone Girl, and Emily Ratajkowski ruined it for me. And I'm thinking, well, she's a new actress. Maybe she bit off a role that was more than, you know, she could chew. She wasn't ready for it. And she's like, no, it was her nipples.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, so first of all, seen them.
You have not seen them in Gone them. Girl.
Having said that, Bean and I, neither of us have seen Gone Girl.
Have not seen the movie. Right. And then I thought Casey was just being crazy. She's just being bitchy. She's just being jealous and petty because Emily's nipples must be better than hers. And then Dave goes to the movie this weekend and he says, hate to say it, Casey was right. Those nipples, man, they pulled me out of the movie.
Yes.
And I can't for the life of me imagine what the hell you're talking about. So, Casey, please explain.
Okay, yeah. Blurred Lines video. She looks great. I'm guessing they were in a cold room. So you get to Gone Girl, and she has these like weird big puffy nipples, and you see them from the side, and they just don't look like attractive boobs.
That's not possible.
It is. I'm watching the movie. I'm sitting there with my boyfriend. Right at the second that we see her topless, we both look at each other with just a strange look on our face, like, what are we looking at?
How, Dave? Did you have a similar response?
Well, I had a similar response to you when she told me about the boobs. I was like, how dare you? She's perfect. And then watching the movie, stupid Casey ruined it for me because as soon as that scene happens, I'm like, damn it, Casey's right.
Yes.
There's these weird, puffy, giant saucers that look like frosted cookies.
Wait, what?
Just like, you're like, come on!
What could have happened?
I don't know! I don't have boobs that, you know.
You do. First of all, you do.
They needed a cold room and a nipple fluffer.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. They just
By the way, if anyone else has seen Gone Girl,
it was like, because stupid Casey
ruined the movie. Please call us if you have an opinion for or against what these idiots are saying here at 1-800-520-1067. Because look, cold room, warm room. Her nipples aren't going to change shape. They're not going to go from one kind of nipples to another kind of. There's no way they could be that much different from the Blurred Lines video to what you're talking about in Gone Girl. It's not possible.
You are wrong, sir.
I sort of have a boner.
Yeah. Was she in an accident? Was there a fire?
I don't know.
Is it just that it's on the big screen?
No. Nope. Maybe she just got a lot of action, you know, in that area. So I don't know.
But it doesn't deform your nipples just because you're using them a lot.
It can.
It deforms Dave's nipples.
Are you saying they were deformed?
I don't know what happened.
They're not deformed. They're just weird and puffy and kind of pointy, but not in a not in a nipple pointy way. In the full, like, I don't know.
You know when you use puffy paint, Lisa?
No, that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right, but let me ask Casey this question. And then we're going to go to John on line one here in a minute. But let me ask Casey this question because what about girl pal? What about supporting the other girls in the world? And not all nipples look alike. You know there are different kinds of nipples. There are girls who have bigger nipples. There are girls who have inverted nipples.
But
it doesn't mean they're ugly or not sexy just because they're different.
We've seen them look good.
So you're comparing.
They did not.
So you're comparing her in Gone Girl to her in Blurred Lines.
Yes, I'm not comparing her and to somebody else.
So
it's her and her.
If you've never seen her in Blurred Lines, you'd be fine with it?
No, if you.
No, you'd just be like, they're weird.
Poor girl, she has sad nipples.
Like, really, we are just picking women apart.
Don't get us wrong. Don't get me wrong. She's hot and she's gorgeous.
God, she's hot.
Yes.
Playboy hot.
But I don't know what's up in this movie. I don't know if it's the Ben Affleck effect or something.
You hold on. Let's go.
Right.
Let's go to John in Alhambra. Hey, John.
Good morning.
Hi.
Help us.
Did you see Gone Girl?
Yes, I did.
All right. Please explain. What's your reaction to what you're hearing on your radio?
I don't know what they're talking about, but they were spectacular.
They what? They what?
They were spectacular.
Not
the boobs. Not the boobs, John.
Right.
The nipples.
Yep.
I didn't see anything wrong with them.
Spectacular.
You are
fantastic. All right. Good. Appreciate the call.
Let's go to Marcy. How about that? Let's get a lady's opinion. She's in Buena Park. She's on line three. Hey, Marcy.
Hi.
Help us, please.
Well, we're all talking about him, right? So I honestly, it made me need to Google, like, who is this nipple girl?
Right. And do some research.
Wait, have you seen the movie?
Absolutely. Read the book, saw the movie, the nipples were definitely top five most memorable moments.
There you go.
Whoa, 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 whoa. They can be memorable and still be bad.
Yeah, were they puffy? Yes or no?
Absolutely puffiest nipples you've ever seen.
Thank you. That's what we're talking about.
Were they good or were they bad?
Marcy says they're good, but what we're saying is they're puffy, and she agrees with us.
All nipples are good.
Agreed.
Yes. Okay, but
so
Marcy's with us.
No, she's not.
No,
she
likes them, but she's agreeing that they're puffy.
She's agreeing that they're weird and unusual.
And
I think Marcy is with them.
Yes.
Marcy, did you see the Blurred Lines video also? And what's your explanation as to why they look so different from one thing to the other?
My explanation was that there was never a close-up that I remember in the Blurred Lines video.
So you think we were just seeing them from a distance?
Maybe I need to do some more research.
Well, you know what? That may be because they're really close up. You know, like, but in the Blurred Lines video, they look good and they look fine. You know.
All right. Thank you for the call, Marcy. We appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's get another woman on. Let's make it Jennifer this time. She's in Orange. Let's see if she's, as Lisa pointed out, just another woman who's tearing down other girls for just being normal. Let's find out what's going on with Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, those were the puffiest, most disgusting nipples I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
What is happening? What is happening?
And maybe if her boobs weren't so small, it wouldn't have looked as bad. But her nipples took up half of her boobs.
All right, Fear Mug, that's enough. Jennifer, you're a terrible person, but thank you for listening and thank you for calling. Isaac writes in, gouged Dave's eyes out. He doesn't deserve to ever see again. Her nipples looked great. There's nothing wrong with them in the movie. Hashtag kill him. So he's not overreacting, right?
I don't think so.
It would be the worst thing if Dave died, though.
Right. I mean, you're right.
So I don't think it's an overreaction.
Okay. I would miss Dave. I consider Dave.
He's the only guy here on the show who likes you. That's why
we
miss him.
We boys.
He's the only guy on the show that pretends to like him.
No, I think Dave actually does like him, which, again, is a reason maybe why he should be.
But he's so wrong on this Emily Ratajkowski.
He's wrong on liking you, too. And he's also wrong he was on the wrong side of Angelina Jolie, remember?
Yeah, his taste in girls is crazy, and the little things that drive him nuts.
Yeah, he's been on the wrong side of history for a long time now.
Wrong man. All right, I can already tell this is going to be trouble, this next thing.
Yeah.
I can already tell we're going to have trouble.
Well, because some people just don't listen.
Bean.
Wait, what did I do?
Yesterday, Ralph gave us a top 10 list of, what was it, the most popular?
Most popular. 10 most popular.
The top 10 Christmas songs Americans are listening to the most is how it is headlined.
Okay. It's bogus. We don't like it. We're going to come up with our own.
Full of crap.
Well, here's the thing, guys.
Read them quickly, Ralph.
All right. Number 10, Happy Christmas, War is Over. Number 9, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224 by Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Whatever.
I love that.
Noted.
White Christmas by Bing Crosby.
Right.
The Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams. Mm-hmm. Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano.
Right.
A Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives. The Christmas Song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, Nat King Cole. Jingle Bell Rock, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And then at number one, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
And as the article does properly note, by the way, the last great original Christmas song. Because the problem with Christmas music, and you know this is me speaking, Bean, and I love Christmas music. The problem is that most radio stations are stuck in that sweet spot of songs from the 40s and 50s and 60s. And I contend to you guys that here in 2014, none of us care about Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song or Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms or Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. That's our parents' music. That's our grandparents'
heard
music
it.
In some cases. Heard
Done
it.
That.
Exactly. So what we talked about yesterday when the conversation came up in Ralph Showbiz Beat is it's time for a new top 10 Christmas songs. And I don't think we have time for 10, but maybe we can at least, you know, get some consensus going on the top 5 best Christmas songs and jettison some of these 50-year-old numbers.
Yes!
All right, now, here's how we decide things.
Or at least update them. There's better versions of many of these songs than the ones they list here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Here's how we solve all issues here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a vote system. There's three of us.
It's
Ralph,
democracy.
Bean. So if I have an idea and Bean and Ralph hate it, they win. If Bean has an idea and Ralph and I hate it, which is most of the time, we win.
Right.
It's really a yell-rocracy. How would you say that? Yell-ocracy.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
It's everybody yelling. No. That's what it is.
Shut up, Lisa!
It does turn into that. It does turn into that.
Can I vote Lisa off the island right now?
No island.
See, I got a cosign.
Where's the basement? Is the basement still open?
No.
I don't think so.
The basement was closed.
So, Kevin, your point is that if, for instance, you suggest a Christmas song, you need to at least have one other person on your side for it to make it into the top five.
Yes.
You need a quorum. You need two-thirds of the
Don't
vote.
Use big words in front of the monkey, please, Ralph.
It's
Come
only
on.
Six letters, quorum.
All right. So how do we want to start? Should we let Ralph go first?
Okay, fine.
Let's let Ralph go first. Since he's the one who brought us the list, and we'll get a chance to get a feel of the temperature of the room here.
Let's Ralph go first with the greatest modern Christmas song of our era. Bing Crosby and David Bowie's 1977 duet of Little Drummer Boy.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Our see the day of glory.
So your contention is, Ralph, that we need to vote on whether that should be in the top five Christmas songs of all time?
No, you should just bow down.
We're going to vote, and my vote is negative.
What?
Negative.
One of the great Christmas songs of the past 50 years.
I love that song. Don't think it's top five.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Top five is rare air, dude. Rare air.
Ugh.
It's great. I might put it in the top 10. I cannot see top five. I'm so sorry. Denied.
All right, ruled against. Ugh. Who's turn? Yours, Bean?
This is going to just be full of
assholes. Yeah, I'll go next. Sure.
Denied.
I would like to suggest for the top five a song that did not make the top 10 list that you gave yesterday that was fairly bogus, and it is by a little group called Wham, and it's a song that I like to refer to as Last Mother Effing Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year,
no Wham, no peace. Is my argument, sir.
You're coming out guns a-blazing with
yes,
this.
Yes, I am.
This is what
yes, I am.
This is your first one.
This is your opening salvo.
Last Christmas is top five, or there's no such thing as a top five.
I vote no.
It is maybe the wussiest Christmas song ever written.
Last Christmas, I gave you
that. Shut up. You didn't give him your heart. You gave him something else. It's awful. So, I hate
I'm
that
hearing,
song.
I'm hearing a no.
You're hearing a no.
Denied.
All right. Now, obviously, women don't get to vote. But, Lisa, what would you have said for Wham if you'd have been involved?
You don't get to go for a backup vote.
No, I'm just asking. I'm just curious.
I actually like it.
All right. I don't
care. Of course
you
do.
I do.
Because you have to sing it in high heels.
So far, we have no songs
right.
in our top five. Kevin is up next.
I'm going to suggest one.
Theocracy!
I'm going to suggest one that I think you'll both be happy with as well as I am, and you're going to be surprised.
We both thought the others were going to be happy with it. We were wrong.
And you're going to be surprised that I bring up Bruce Springsteen. Santa Claus is coming to town. Right?
Hell yes. Hell yes.
Bean.
Well, now it sounds like my vote doesn't matter because we already got two yeses.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Don't go to Bean.
Don't care, Bean.
I would have. I love that song. I think it's the best version of that song. But again, it's a song that's 60 years old that I just don't have much time for anymore. So I probably would have been a no on that. But it sounds like you guys are
but
going
that
yes
song
top
isn't
five.
60 years old. The original is, but that song isn't.
That's what I'm saying. But it's again, it's the same thing that we're talking about as the songs that I'm super, super, super
All right.
tired
no,
of.
No, that's not. Song. It's not Christmas until I hear that song from me.
All right, Ralph, you're up.
Kevin's right. All right, another song that isn't Christmas until I hear it. From the legendary British rock band The Kinks, a song called Father Christmas.
Father Christmas.
He said, Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys. We will beat you up, don't hand it over. We want your bread, so don't make us annoy.
That's
Love
a good
that song.
Toys.
That's a good song.
Little rich boy.
So what about Santa Claus getting mugged?
Yeah, baby.
That's a good song.
It's a great song. It's
easy top 10.
Easy. You're absolutely right. In fact, top five.
Not top five.
Oh, you son of a
Not
bitches.
Top five.
You
Not top
son
five.
Of a bitches.
Not
Sorry.
Top five.
That's good.
Rejected.
Listen to you. You put
Rejected. Buzz it. Buzz
that
it.
That over Father Christmas?
Yes.
Because it has balls.
Over.
That's why you don't have any.
All right. I can see we're going to run out of time. Right, I have to continue this to the next segment.
Hey, we'll take calls, too, at 1-800-520.
We're not going to have time for calls. We're not going to have time for calls.
Well, maybe.
How are we going to have time for calls?
Right. What's your next one? Go. Go with your next horrible song.
I'm going to walk out and not come back if this song doesn't make
excellent.
The top five.
Do not tease that. Let's vote right now.
And it's a K-Rock classic that I get excited about. I get tingly in my panty, as the Armenian comedian says, every time it comes on the radio. And it is by the Waitresses, and it's called Christmas Wrapping. Hit it, Steve. Don't like it.
Oh, if
how do you not like the Waitresses?
If the Christmas song was written by robots, then that would be that song. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
So, Rob, your vote is no.
I hate that song.
Beat, are you going to stand up
with you people?
You said you would stand up and walk out. Metaphorically, of course. Meeting and I continue to serve, but under protest.
That famous old metaphor about walking out of the room. We all know that old hack.
All right, hey, what's the word I should have used? Symbolically, I guess. Symbolically, I'm walking out right now, but I guess I'm technically still in the room.
It's back to me, and we only have one song in the top five so far.
So far, yes.
Because Ralph is bad and misses the magic of Wham and the Waitresses.
I'm going to say you too. Baby, please come home for Christmas.
Oh, God.
You
not even the best version of that song.
Oh,
what? Not even the best version of that song.
You're dumb.
What's the best version of that song?
The Darlene Love original. Yeah, of course.
Man.
Absolutely. No, rejected so hard.
F you. You don't get to reject hard. You only get to reject.
Rejected without lube. I'm sorry. No.
I'm torn because I do love that. I do love that song, but I don't feel it's top five material.
It's definitely not top five material.
Easy. It's debatable, but I'm not feeling
okay,
it.
Okay, so we're at the end of this
segment,
yes. And we have one song of the top five.
That's right.
And okay. Even that's wrong. Even that's a mistake.
And that is right on. It's the one that we all know.
So this is not a good list, you guys.
All right, we're going to give it a try.
I hate you. Merry Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
right
a beer.
Yeah, beer, you hoser.
Five and Doug McKenzie.
No. I don't believe it's tough.
Beer.
Yeah.
Come on.
And a toque.
We were talking yesterday about Ralph saw an article in something called BusinessInsider.com about the top 10 most popular Christmas songs, and it occurred to us that it's a pretty lame list because it's chock full of things like Jingle Bell Rock and Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. So we thought, hey, maybe it's time for updating that list. And so far we're finding out it's a lot harder to put one of these lists together than it is to make fun of somebody else's list, right?
It isn't. It's easy to put it together. I did it. I had all five. You people douchebagged around and ruined it.
So far, the only song we have in the top five is Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
And that wasn't even unanimous. All the good songs, like Christmas Wrapping and Last Christmas, geez. It got vetoed for some reason.
No,
so something's wrong
here. That guy I've been chasing all year. Shut up. Like the Kardashians wrote a Christmas song.
Let's invite a couple of listeners in, and then we'll get back
to our
suggestions. For instance, Tammy is in Valencia. She's on line five. I don't know how this is an incredible suggestion that has to be taken very seriously for top five. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. This should be number one, Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid.
It's pretty tough to argue. Christmas song of a generation,
it's
right?
It's true. What says Christmas more than drought and the desert and sand? That's when you think of Christmas, you think of thirsty.
But they updated it for 2014 to make it about Ebola. That's still
true.
Very Christmassy, right?
Bleeding out the rectum is Christmas. That is Christmas
right.
to me.
Tammy,
you know.
Great suggestion. Thank you. Anyone want to take Tammy's suggestion and put that in her top five?
Nope.
No.
Kevin?
Again, I like it. Top five.
Barely a Christmas song.
Top it's five. Just,
if it didn't have Christmas,
it has the word
in,
Christmas
it,
in it,
you would never know it's a Christmas song.
All right, how about David? He's also in Valencia. He's on line two. He has another all-time stone-cold K-Rock classic to suggest.
Hi, David.
Hey, good morning, Christmas party people. Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold. But the wind goes right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me.
Look, nobody loves the drunken Irish more than I do.
Right.
Love the Pogues. Love that song.
Right. It's a masterpiece.
Top five?
Not top five.
Bean?
Boy, I don't know. I think I might yay on top five for Fairy Tale of New York. I really think I might yay on that.
I'm naying.
So it doesn't really matter what
so
you
So it doesn't
yay.
Make the cut. Mm. All right, we'll go back to the calls here in a second, but let's go back to our list. Ralph, I think you are up next with another suggestion.
By far, this is not only the most heart-wrenching of all the Christmas songs, but the one that really kicks off the season for me. This is Christmas Harmonica by Peek, the rodeo clown with two paralyzed legs.
This Christmas... I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
Yeah, go Pete.
I mean, I remember that.
The best part.
It's another minute and a half, by the way.
See?
Remember the year Aretha came out and sang that at the White House?
A car crash made me one. A bull named the car crash at the rodeo.
Yeah. Come on. The touching tale of a rodeo clown who was hit by a bull named Car Crash.
I'm going
great,
yes.
Great song.
I don't know that it's top five. I love it. I've loved that song from the day we got it. It's such a downer.
No, that song was featured on one of our Christmas albums many years ago.
This Christmas I've been a paraplegic for more than 20 years.
Peek, the paralyzed rodeo
clown. That's the opposite of Christmas, and I love
so,
it.
Are you guys both voting yes to put that in our top five of all time?
Hell yeah.
Because now it's turned into a sham. All right, can I get it back to something serious?
Right.
Is it my turn? Am I next?
It's your turn.
I want to get it back to something serious.
Because
you're bringing in nonsense. Because you're bringing
That's
in you're trashing
nonsense.
The beach is what's happening here. I'd like
somebody's
to suggest
panties are up there crack.
This is the song that seriously, forget Peek. This is the song right here that needs to be in the top five.
Oh, this is Santa Claus saying I won't be around this year. I'm a bit sick. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
All right, now you've torn it.
And he won't be round to spread his Christmas cheer.
They don't need this.
All right.
But the reindeer all look blue.
All right, but
they know what he's going through. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
I say absolutely top five, right there with Peek.
I am going to theoretically walk right out of this room because of that.
Here's the problem. In our top five, we have to, there's room for maybe one comedy song. And we got to put the other four. They got to be actual songs. You can't. It's not going to be all bad songs,
that's
right?
Dr. Demento's Christmas.
So we have to we either have to knock out Peek for me to put this in or one of the other.
Oh, because you have a comedy song?
No, I'm saying if we're doing
you
top five.
You only get
five,
to have one.
Oh, you get paraplegic, not AIDS, is what you're
20%
saying.
20% of our list is nonsense.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Kevin, we're gonna go back to the phones, but what's your final selection here?
Mine is one that was on the original list that I still love.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Bean is already booing.
How
can you boo Feliz Navidad?
Let me finish the clip.
Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad.
That song makes me happy.
Me too.
First of all, I dislike the handicapped, as you know. That's first of all.
That's why Peek is out
that's
for
why
you.
Peek the radio clown.
That's not even the best version of that song, by the way. Elvez is the only version of Feliz Navidad that ever deserves to be heard.
I'm a yes, and I believe Ralph is a yes.
I am a yes as well.
Feliz Navidad freaking Dot is in the top
yep.
five.
Yeah, that's
so we
top
have Springsteen,
material.
Santa Claus is coming to town, Peek the rodeo clown.
This is a disaster.
Oh, we got room for all of that. We don't have room for freaking Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Come on.
You talk about the hackneyed and the beat down and the.
You're telling me in 2014, Kevin, that Feliz freaking Navidad deserves to be in the top five ahead of Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Well, we hadn't discussed this yet. I mean, that's the first time it's been brought up.
Yes. It was on the old list we mocked, but it is now on this list. Bean is proposed.
It was number one on the old list, and it should be number one on the new list.
All right, easy.
It's hard.
I've been bludgeoned with it so much, it's hard for me to get a response anymore.
Yeah.
Number one.
I don't know how we can't
well,
go.
Dave likes it. Now I can't vote yes.
Number one.
Now I have to vote no.
That's the truth. That's
no.
It.
No.
I don't know how we can't go yes on that. That has to be in the top five. I'm a yes.
All right. So we're going to have to leave it there for now. But we do
have four.
I know, we only have four. But we're out of time. We're out of time. We've got a very busy show, Kevin. A lot of stuff coming up.
Five ever. We're going to have four songs on it.
We have a whole bunch of people on the hold.
I know, but we're,
to play.
But we're out of time.
What do I need to hate Christmas?
Who comes up with a total of four songs for a list of the top five?
That's how this show rolls.
Stop complaining.
Jesus.
The hell?
Everything's too old. It's like Kevin.
How dare you?
It's not that. It's just that our complaint about the original list is all the songs were too old.
That was your complaint.
That's my complaint,
that was,
too.
That was all of our
my
complaints,
complaint,
I thought.
I was burnt out on the same old crappy songs, and there were better ones that get ignored.
Well, I thought we did a great job with the new list.
We tried to come up with a top five and only came up with four.
All right, so we have one more. So to be continued.
This is a microcosm of everything, trying to get anything done on this show. It's everyone yelling at each other, no one being happy with the final result, and a crappy product at the end of it.
And the listeners are the ones who suffer, as usual.
But, Ralph, all right, to be continued.
No.
Yeah, we can fix it. We can fix it in post, Ralph. Come on.
With you people at all.
Going back.